with the Colin Knight.
Blog Talk Radio.
There is nothing wrong with your computer. There is nothing wrong with your audio or your video. We are controlling transmission. For the next hour, we look forward to entertaining you, interacting with you, and interviewing you. For the next hour, and we will control all that you see and hear. Let me repeat, there is nothing wrong with your computer. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind. Terror Chat. In the Night Zone tonight, our guest is Marshall Masters, a former CNN science feature film producer, famous for his straightforward view of upcoming human events. As the co-author and publisher of Planet X Forecast and a 2012 survival guide, Marshall believes that 2012 will be a survivable evolutionary event. Marshall Masters, a straight shooter on the Planet X, coming up in the Night Zone.
Is there anybody out there?
Hello, this is Chris Holly from Endless Journey and the Alien Seeker News Paranormal Sites. Recently, I have been writing about the extreme, strange experiences of the unknown told to me by our viewers and listeners. Let us tell you about those who have had incredible sightings of strange objects in our skies, visitations by odd creatures and alien abductions. Understand what it is like to witness, touch, smell, and communicate with others from the unknown. Join us as we explore, share, and present what we discover. To find us, simply Google search four words, Endless Journey, Chris Holly, or the Alien Seeker News. Visit while we reach into the paranormal and join our never-ending journey into the unknown. Endless Journey, Chris Holly, the Alien Seeker News. See you there.
As we continue to search for the truth with Planet X and the Nibiru and the Anunnaki, we present to you a master of the Planet X. Of course, I'm speaking of Marshall Masters. It's a Terror Chat special, the Planet X and Nibiru.
Coming up next on Terror Chat.
Are listening
to TerraChat
on blogtalkradio.com.
As we hurtle towards 2012, many believe this to be a human enlightenment. Will this be the key that opens up the ancient codes? Join us in They Walk Amongst Us, coming soon.
Join us where we discuss the end times, the Mayan calendar, and the predicted cataclysmic events on December the 21st, 2012.
This is Terror Chat, in the dead of night, when thy winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone, and you sit huddled around the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be tonight?
Coming soon.
This is Terror Chat, thinking outside of the box. This is the Night Zone. In the Night Zone tonight, our guest is Marshall Masters, a former CNN science feature field producer, famous for his straightforward view of upcoming human events. As the co-author and publisher of Planet X Forecast and a 2012 survival guide, Marshall believes that 2012 will be a survivable evolutionary event. Marshall Masters, a straight shooter on the Planet X, coming up in the Night Zone. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And finally, I tell you, if those lead-ins get much bigger, we're going to have a pre-banked show. The reason for the long lead-in tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is because we are doing a pre-tape, and the stations down the line, they need their 5 minutes for all of the Senator John McCain incidents and the Sarah Palin and all of that. So we gave him a 4.5 minute lead-in. Hopefully, that will be enough. Tonight I have with me Marshall Masters. Marshall, good evening, sir.
Good evening to you, Colin. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
Well, I tell you, Marshall, I went into a panic state this morning as we check sites just before we go on air, and up on your site came a media release that you are no longer doing interviews and you had to finish your latest work. It'll be finished in the fall of 08, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. We did confirm this, didn't we? So I raced to the book, and thank God there you were, sir, and I do appreciate it. How is this new project coming, Marshall?
Crossing the Cusp is coming along rather nicely, and as part of the analysis, I have a small show I do, Cut to the Chase, and it's a research show. It's literally, it's got a scratch if it itches kind of schedule. Mm-hmm. And I use it to contact folks so that I can ask them questions. And so this book really is a synthesis of the 90-some-odd authors I've been speaking to into the field and interviewing, plus everything else that we've been learning in all of our research and writing. And it's going to have a real focus on what I believe will be the most significant dieback event of a Planet X flyby, which would be a pole shift, which, of course, we know has been prophesized in numerous sources, such as Edgar Cayce and others. And so it's a real investigation of that, and with the focus, as with our other books, on we're not interested in validation. We're just simply starting with the premise, it happens. So how do you deal with it? How do you get through it? And that's the approach I'm taking to it. And so it'll come out. It'll be later this year. In the meantime, my next one is going to be a series called The 2012 Teachings of the Elohim. And this was part of our research on Planet X, which has really been a fascinating aspect of our research, where we've been working with sensitives who are channeling various entities.
Right.
And we've done the scientific work where we've been literally going through and finding all the information that we can, and from those fringe lunatic sites like NASA and National Geographic, we pull all that information together, and it was really helpful in doing Planet X Forecast, which was a very, it's a very pragmatic approach to it. In this, the next step for us was really starting to look for information where we weren't finding it before, and so one of the things we've seen, Colin, over the years, I'm talking going all the way back to when we first starting this around the turn the millennium,
right,
is that people all across the globe are reporting paranormal events to us, dreams, visions, you name it, all forms of paranormal experience. And
I taped a show with Chris Holly yesterday. It airs tomorrow night, talking about exactly the same thing, the increase in the paranormal activities, the increase in disclosure, as if there's a race to a set date to make sure that everybody has the information. But at the same time, there's disinformation out there.
Oh, there's quite a bit of disinformation, and as a matter of fact, an article I'm going to be putting up on my yowza.com website is there was one fellow out there who's called Project Storm on YouTube,
right,
and he's just always been a pill, in terms of his attack videos and all that. He goes with the ad hominem attacks and the generalizations. And but one fellow by the name of No Star Panel absolutely nailed this guy for a very patently clear disinformation tactic where the guy is falsifying, using stunts, team stunts to falsify comments. And that'll be up on Yowza.com. It'll be called Project Storm Busted by No Star Panel. And this guy's good. No Star Panel is, you know, we're all looking for stuff. He's looking for the stuff that we can't find.
Yeah. And, you know, the misinformation, the misdirection, you know, as I mentioned to Chris Holler last night, that we've been seeing these things since before Christ. They're documented. They're there. They're in the books. They're in the good books. And it's amazing to me that we have gone 2,000 years plus and not actually accepted that they're, you know, these things are either about to happen, will happen, or could happen if we follow this cataclysmic course. And it surprises me that with all of the information out there, Marshall, people still kind of turn their nose up or kind of squint when you tell them about Planet X or the Nibiru or Anunnaki. You know, they kind of squint as if they don't want to believe it.
Well, let me throw that from what I'm seeing of that, because, yes, we see all of that cynical skepticism, the ad hominem attacks. I call it deflection. You know, we don't want to talk about this. We want to talk about something else, or... and they attack it. Well, what I see actually is I see so many people out there that really do get it, but they're being silenced by all of this. You've got a handful of noisy, caustic people that are souring the bait. You know, it's like the old expression goes: it only takes one apple, a bad apple, to ruin the barrel, right?
Absolutely.
And
like the Bigfoot joke. Couple of weeks ago, you know, with the bear costume or whatever it was, frozen in ice, and the guy, you know, believed it was an actual Bigfoot and what have you. It really damaged the credibility.
Well, it does, and you know, you go through this, but and I'm trying to help people to understand the disinformation, and there's hoaxers out there, and these hoaxers like these. They get taken in, and it's someone just thinks that they're really clever and smart, and they're a run-by fruiter, and it comes and goes. And, you know, for years I have been dealing with these kinds of personalities, the run-by fruiters, and they really are, they tend to be one or two schmoes, and once they've had their laugh, they move on. Disinformation operatives, now this is a whole new ball of wax. When people are really slow to come at this, and disinformation operatives, and I will tell you a couple interesting characteristics of disinformation operatives. They tend to use Hotmail addresses.
Okay.
A lot of this is coming out of England.
Really?
More so than the United States or Canada. The disinformation attacks we're seeing usually track back to England.
Do you think this is a government conspiracy issue, or do you think this is a private organization that has set this up?
Well, I would only be speculating on that. What I can tell you is that we see an obvious pattern of disinformation, what we call disinformation wolf packs. These are people that make their living doing this. All right. So this is a funded operation, and the way that they operate, the way they do things, because it's far more sophisticated, better planned, better organized, and usually is going to have anywhere from 3 to 6 individuals within a wolf pack team that are operating, and what they do is they bounce off of each other and set up ambushes.
That's interesting you mention it that way, because I've been discussing this regarding internet chat, especially the political rooms. There appears to be that very same style of entry into rooms conversation changing, manipulating the conversation into a direction, and then leaving to the next room. It's very interesting, and there's no way this is done just for fun. These people are in it for some very serious cash, I think.
This is very methodical. What I can tell you is that we started, we've always had the run by fruiters, okay, for years. We've been writing these stories since 1999, and you know, that's why God made a delete key. It's free speech, ha-ha, boom, delete, move on.
Gotcha.
But with these guys, I saw something very different, and we started doing disclosure videos on the South Pole Telescope. People down there were trying to leak out information. And we had a difficult time vetting this stuff because, I mean, once they say these things, they come under an incredible amount of pressure to remain silent and disappear, and their accounts are, their personalities on YouTube are compromised. We find a very vicious pattern, attack pattern. And we started documenting the attacks. It's more so than the videos itself. There's Nibiru Shock 2012. The first two videos were genuine.
And then you started to see this this combined wolf pack, as you call it.
Yes.
You see their pattern showing up, huh?
And it was after we put up our we got to a point where we were really exposing their tactics. And when we did that, they turned the guns on us. And we started getting huge amounts of disinformation, ad hominem attacks. You know, they were coming into our message boards trying to foment problems. It was just an awful lot of grief, and they come at you, and they come at you in different ways. Now, in response to that, on my site at yowza.com, yowusa.com, there's you'll find a show called Terrestrial and Extraterrestrial Disinformation. And that has articles in support of that. And those articles are actually written by another gentleman. You have to forget the name slips right now. But he identified the 25 tactics and the 8 traits of disinformation operatives. When we read those articles, we were floored. Because, I mean, we're going, number one, yeah, we saw that, and we saw that, we saw that, we saw that, been there, done that.
I think I'm going to have to move some of the admins from the chat rooms to have a read of these, because the information sounds just as tight as which is happening to you in a disinformation on the paranormal side as they are experiencing in political chat. Hold that thought, Marshall. I'm late
sure.
for a break as usual. But,
okay.
Just hold on to that, and we'll get through this. And for all the stations down the line, we will be on minimum breaks.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago, and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
All information provided in my TerraChat radio program is the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the owner or its agency. Although TerraChat takes all precautions to provide quality information, TerraChat assumes no responsibility or liability for the legitimacy of information provided by guest opinions or statements. TerraChat, thinking outside of the box, brings to you the audience, The Night Zone, and UFO Abductions.
Join Colin Knight and the special co-host Chris Hawley as he downs tranquilizers listening to the real-life abduction stories of our special guest,
UFO Matt.
September the 12th, 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is Terror Chat.
And this one's just by Hans, my producer. He's out there still sipping on the wine and sipping on the cheese in California. Come on back, Hans.
You're in the Night Zone with Colin Knight.
And you are in the Night Zone with Colin Knight, and my special guest tonight is Marshall Masters. I call him the Master of Planet X. Marshall, your videos on YouTube, I got to tell you, you have educated me. And that is such a plus from such an innocuous site.
Well, it's what we're trying to do is we're researchers, and we're trying to find the truth of the matter, and we're sharing that with people. And Colin, the most important thing about truth is that the only truth that really matters is the truth you find through your own awareness, through your own research, and which resonates within you. If it doesn't resonate within you, well, then you're letting someone else do your thinking for you. And that's the approach that we take.
Absolutely. Let me just cut to the chase, Marshall, because I'm sure there's people chomping at the bit out there. Is this the end of life as we know it, 2012?
It's not the end of the world. Anybody who tells you it's the end of the world is giving you disinformation. It is the end of life as we know it. Okay. But that is in the sense of, is that necessarily a bad thing? Think about it for a second. Life as we know it, we're in this industrial revolution has been a complete failure. The greed has stripped the planet. Now, this is an event that you can come at it and look at it one of two ways. You can go, poor pitiful me, I'm losing my 401k. Or on the other hand, you can go, you know, maybe God's just hitting the reset button. Maybe it's time to reboot, you know?
That's kind of where I'm coming from. I think that every 36,000 years or in a cycle, I won't give it a year date cycle, but there is everything that we know is cyclical. So therefore, you know, even to the human being, I mean, you know, we are just chemicals. And when we leave our body, the shell that's left behind just literally goes back to the earth. Whether we accept it or not, it does go back to the earth. And we become, again, we become the sum of our parts. And I think people can't expand to accept that type of universal code.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is what you're talking about is an understanding that is millennia old. And it goes to, if you really study like groups like the Freemasons, not the ones that get off into the power trips, but the ones that follow the more benign aspect, they're saying the same thing, is that, you know, we have to understand that spiritually we existed before this body, and it's we continue on afterwards. And so when I think of myself as a sentient being, I think of myself as the Marshall Masters. I see myself as more of an innkeeper for the soul. So at the final analysis, when the great tour guide book of the cosmos is written, will Marshall Masters be a 5-star hotel or a 1-star dive? And that's, to me, what really matters is how I'm remembered, not necessarily in this life, but in the next. And I think that, you know,
that's part of our ascension makeup, is that we have this desire, this need to pass our seed along and to be remembered in favorable terms. I find that interesting that we push that forward as we get closer to the mortal life cycle.
But I mean, I first personally believe we've never been alone, we never will be alone, and that we are a bioengineered species. And that as a species, I think we're a marvelous species. We have an incredible combination of skills and talents, and so we're a species that needs to thrive, to continue, to evolve. And that, for me, is what all of this is really about. This is an evolutionary event. And very simply put, the folks that come through this, that are on the back end of this, I always say to people, I'll catch you on the backside, which is my way of saying, hey, I hope you make it to the back end of 2012, on the backside of 2012, and I hope that we get to shake hands and say, hey, whoa, we made it. And I believe that the population that survives all this and makes it to the back end is going to be the most important population in the history of our species, because the cruel, evil, fearful people are going to, particularly through the cusp, they're going to perish in that event. Their own fears will magnify them, and they will die from their own fears. It's like ayahuasca gone bad.
They succumb to their own desperation.
Right. And so the people that make it through are, you know, I'm not talking about the folks that lead ceremonies and get up there and, you know, the profess to judge others as being closer or further away to God. I'm talking about the people that make it through. It's just an average man or woman who gathers some orphans around them, and in the midst of all of this tribulation is telling the kids, hey, it's going to be okay. This is going to pass. We're going to get through this together, and I love you, and I care about you. Let's join hands and let's sing a song and let's get through it. And that may sound corny to people because they're not out there digging bunkers, but those are the kind of people that really will survive this. And that's what my empirical research tells me.
It totally makes sense, Marshall. It really does. Could you just hold on just for a second? I got to
start
with the owl one here and keep everybody happy down the line. We'll be here.
Okay.
As we continue to explore the possibilities of Planet X, the Anunnaki, Nibiru, and the conclusion of all of the prophecies from around the world that focus their attention on the year 2012 in the Mayan calendar. Is it possible? Is Planet X coming? Is the rapture, as they speak of in the Bible, about to take place? Have we heard the first horn sound as we watch for the horses of the apocalypse? We'll be examining Planet X with Mr. Marshall Masters.
We all have busy lives, and in such, we can't always be at a computer at a set time and date to listen to our favorite Blog Talk Radio show. So Blog Talk Radio has developed a method where you can listen to your favorite show right from your armchair or your desk. You could even listen archive or live. So how do you do it? Well, it's pretty easy. Come to www.blogtalkradio.com. Choose your favorite show. Hopefully it's TerraChat. Enter the specific station page and sign up for RSS feed, or add the various players to your website or blog, or put the player right on your desktop. It's as easy as that. Once you have the player, your favorite show is just a click away. Enjoy.
All information provided by TerraChat Radio Program is the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the owner or its agents. Although TerraChat takes all precautions to provide quality information, TerraChat assumes no responsibility or liability for the legitimacy of information provided by guest opinions or statements. You're in the Night Zone with Colin Knight.
And you are in the Night Zone with Colin Knight, and my special guest for the final 30 minutes is Marshall Masters. I call him the Master of Planet X. I hope you don't mind that, Marshall, but, having taken a number of Dale Carnegie courses, I've learned how to peg names, as they call it. So when I think of Master, I think of Marshall Master, I think of Planet X. So that's how we tie you together, sir. And you're stuck with it as far as TerraChat's concerned. And I'm not sure if you can hear in the background, but we have somebody building a mansion a couple of doors down, and they're making a heck of a racket. So we're not very happy about that. But that such is the tribulations of my life. So we look at all of this information, Marshall, and as we go around and around and we fight the disinformation, and your YouTube videos correcting poor information is where I actually first stumbled upon you, because I thought, you know, that was a pretty gutsy move. Nah, the guy might be just maybe locked in a battle or something. But then I started going through your past DU tubes and going to your site, pulling down the videos, which I must admit, the five videos, absolutely fabulous. I am enthralled with the information that was in that.
Well, they have been popular. Collectively, the five have been viewed over 2 million times. And people also are downloading them and replaying them. And I put those up as a way to really help bring people into the broad brush aspect of all of this. And so as to encourage them to go out and become self-informed. Because, see, here's the important thing about becoming self-informed, Colin, and it's not about agreeing with Marshall Masters or Colin or anyone else for that matter. All right? Here's the important thing about becoming self-informed. Our human brain is a wonderful piece of bioengineering. And when we set our minds to something, we physically set our minds to it. We start building neural networks in our brains. Now, by reading and thinking about it, contemplating it, seeing yourself in various scenarios that would be germane to your location, whether it's earthquake or tsunami and what have you. And when you start doing this, how does the brain physically respond? Well, it starts building neural pathways. You start building your own internal processors. And this is important because when an event happens, if you don't have that in place, then it's like trying to run Windows Vista on an 8086 from the 1970s. I mean, it's not even going to boot. And you stand there going, huh?
Yeah.
All right? You have no earthly idea. But if you've been thinking about this stuff, even if, whether you agree or you don't agree, that's not the point. If the destination is irrelevant. It is the process. It is the journey. That is the only thing that is relevant because you build these neural pathways in your brain and so that when something does happen, first off, you're going to notice the harbinger signs long before anyone else does. And you're going to know where you're going to instinctively need to be, and you're going to be there. Good example is what happened in Sumatra with the tsunami and superquake in December 2004. Now, all of the educated people with cars, houses, money, yada, 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 signs of success, what were they doing? They're going, well, Phyllis, hey, isn't that interesting? The water's going out and the fish are stranded. Get a wicker basket. On the other hand, all of the really some, you know, stupid natives that we like to look down upon from our civilized viewpoint, they saw what was happening in nature. They were connected to nature, and they saw the animals running uphill. They didn't need to sit there and figure out what it was because they've been sitting around campfires since they were born telling the great stories that were their culture's way of programming neural networks for survival in their brains. And so when the animals started running uphill, what did they do? They started following them and screaming, feet don't fail me now.
Right.
Okay, boom. So yeah, that's what I'm really wanting people to do.
Learned responses, build the neural networks, start thinking for yourself.
And bingo.
You know, today, for instance, I was in a convenience store and a young girl, a pretty thing, was serving me and the till had broken down. And they're fixing it like crazy and I forget what it was, $14.52 or something I purchased and I handed her a 20 and 52 cents. And she looked at me with a blank look on her face like I had just given her Irish pounds. And she just,
oh my gosh.
Stagnant. There was no cognitive thinking there whatsoever. The look was, well, what do you expect me to do with this? You know, this isn't a change. What am I going to, how do I extrapolate this? And it just wasn't there. And so I see what you're saying about building those neural networks and understanding how you will survive and taking the course of action and planning for those events. Not necessarily Planet X, but an earthquake, a tsunami, tornadoes, floods, cataclysmic events that people do not have. They have maybe a plan A, but when that falls apart, it's like, oh, well, that's it. I guess I'm finished. There is no plan, as you say, no plan B. And I think
that's exactly, you know, it's really, I love the fact that you hit on plan B. Because the inspiration for my strategy really came from a visit to Israel in 2000, and we went to Masada. And I was fascinated. I literally, if you could walk there and crawl there, I went there. I spent spent the whole day just covering the top of Masada, this fortress by the Dead Sea, where the Jews made a last stand against the Romans. And at the end of all of it, I walked over to a wall overlooking the Roman ramp, and there was this young archaeologist from Jerusalem there. She just finished giving a group tour, and I had been listening in, you know. So then I had one question. I saddled up next to her, and I said, I've got a question for you. What's the story here of Masada? What does it teach us? That it's good to die for your beliefs? And she looked at me, and she said, no, that's not the message of Masada. I said, what is? She said, you got to have a plan B.
Oh, don't you love that, huh? You know, the plan B. When I read that in your writing, Marshall, I got to say, it's like it stood out like a sore thumb, and it's like, yeah, you know what? I do not. I have never thought of plan B, because plan A I've always seemed to manipulate or make it work, or just abandoned it and said it was a stupid idea. So, you know, it's frightening. When you think about it, that many people, if they go home at night and their electricity isn't on, they're going to die.
Yes.
They're going to die. They, you know, there's some people out there that wouldn't know how to crack an egg on an open fire if their life depended on it, if they could even find the eggs, you know. I'm sure they'd be rattling the supermarket stores trying to get eggs, you know, the silliness of it all. We had a discussion a couple of months ago in one of the internet chat rooms over on Pal Talk, I believe it was, regarding what would you do if an event happened and you lost electricity and everything shut down. And this one guy piped up, well, first thing I do is check my guns. And I thought, how sad is that? First thing you're going to do is prepare to kill another human being.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. I mean, the first thing I would do is just say, don't flush the toilets.
Yeah, exactly.
Fetch the water.
Hold the bus. Yeah.
There are
those survival kits out there. A lot of them are hocus pocus, of course. But there are some good ones. You can find some good, you know, survival techniques out there if it's done properly. I mean, nobody's going to turn into a Rambo. But, you know, there are some basic needs that are required. People do not realize how stuck we are on technology, for instance. Exactly what we're doing right now.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. And if you buy something in a kit, the problem with a kit is that it's our typical consumer solution. Got a problem? Go to the store, buy something, don't worry about it. Well, that's not preparing you. So when you've run through whatever supplies are in that kit, and probably you'll wreck half of them because you won't know how to use them properly, at that point, where do you go? I mean, there's going to be no internet, no store to go to, what have you. On the other hand, the strategy that we take in our book, Planet X Forecast, I call it scoot packs and strategies. And it's no different than what the military does. If you're in an infantry squad, you're going to have a rally point. You're going to have fallbacks. What you carry on your back, you're very careful with what you take exactly what you need. And there are a lot of folks that say, well, I really don't want to take them big a gun. I mean, what else could I take for self-defense? And so instead of talking about guns and shotguns and all kinds of things like that, I said, well, okay, let's think about a hammer. Hammer's a good defense tool.
A multi-use. I mean,
that's it.
You can't hammer something with a rifle, otherwise you're going to break the rifle.
That's right, and unless it's soft tissue. But the thing about a hammer was, and you had the point, it has to be multiple use, because, see, we're so used to, well, just throw it in the trunk of the car, right? You know, burn gas, haul it along, no sweat. It's another thing if you got to schlep that on your body for 20 miles a day. Now it's got to have multiple uses, and so I literally spent days researching just one thing, a hammer, all right, because it's in this section, if I had a hammer. And I went to all these hardware stores in the area, and I'm thinking about, well, I got to use a hammer to bust my way out of fallen buildings, to claw my way up wreckage, to defend myself, to dig a fire pit and what have you. And I am looking at all these different hammers, and I'm handling them, and I'm imagining how I would fight a hammer, okay? You know, how I would use a hammer to defend myself. And, you know, looking back on it, I got to think that there was somebody back in a security booth going, hey, Phil, look at this guy doing the kung fu with the Stanley hammer over here, you know?
Yeah, it would be an interesting YouTube.
Oh, yeah, it would have been, you know. But I did find, interestingly enough, the hammer I found was the one I liked was modeled very much after the German war hammers that were used in medieval times. as a way to bash in the armor of a knight so that they could defeat them in battle. And so it had a lot of the same properties and attributes. And it was just when you start finding it. So I bought the hammer. And my wife said, you know, what do you want for Christmas last Christmas? I said, I want my hammer. She said, are you crazy? I said, no, I want the hammer. She's fine. You know, get whatever you want. I got the hammer. And sure enough, I mean, it's something that's it's in my scoot pack. And I carry it, you know, it's a belt carry. And it's something I know that I have to bash my way through a wall. If I have to dig a fire pit, if I have to defend myself, I know that hammer is going to be the right hammer for me.
Well, you see, if you're going to bash through a wall, you call the fire department. And that's all people have is plan A. That's it. Okay, I'm on fire, I call the fire department. You know, my life is threatened, I call the police. But people realize that when a cataclysmic event takes place, there is very little fire department, there is very little police. They are too busy handling absolute chaos. And the chaos theory is a definite military tactic. And people just do not realize how chaotic their life will become as quickly as it will become. You know, you had an experience, and just going off this topic because I want to tie it back with the Universal Code, but you had an experience at the Batcave, as I call it. And I actually, saw that on CNN. When it happened, and it's just such a connection to be able to speak to you about it, because you mentioned in your webpage how when these bats came out, you felt like it was, you know, the Star Wars Force. You felt the Force.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Expand on that, what that was?
Sure. It was a story when I was doing field production work for CNN, and we did the Bracken Batcave, and that's in central Texas, and with a fellow who studies bats. And the Bracken Batcave is the single largest concentration of warm-blooded animals on the face of the earth. And there's this huge cave, and there's a bowl in the earth, like a big sinkhole of sorts, and the cave is off to one side, and it's perfect for all of these bats, and they're in there in the hundreds of thousands, and at dusk they stream up in columns, and what they do is they use the bowl as a way to get up ground effect, if you will, and start spiraling up, and they go up to very high altitudes and head off in different directions and literally eat tons of insects every night. And when we went down into the cave, which was that was an interesting experience, but it was afterwards, and we wanted to catch them coming out as they formed the column going up. We stood on the bowl. My film crew was there, and they were terrified. They put up all their light shims and everything. They thought the bats would slam into them. But I didn't feel that fear. I just stood there, and I held open my arms, you know, and faced the bats head on, eyes wide open. And I had thousands of these bats, thousands of them, flying by me. And, I mean, I could feel the wind beating off their wings. Not one bat ever touched me. And I was in their world. I could sense that. And as long as I wasn't a problem for them, they weren't a problem for me. And they just flowed around me, and I felt their life force. And it was one of the most remarkable experiences of my life. It was a real connection.
The hairs on my arms are starting to go, so I know that I have to take a break here and gather my wits. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Warning, this is a restricted area. Warning, this is a restricted area. You are entering the Night Zone. All information provided by TerraChat Radio Program is the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the owner or its agency. Although TerraChat takes all precautions to provide quality information, TerraChat assumes no responsibility or liability for the legitimacy of information provided by guests' opinions or statements. You're in the Night Zone with Colin Knight. Warning, this is a restricted area. Warning, this is a restricted area. You are entering the Night Zone.
And you are in. entering the night zone for the final 12 minutes of the show. I have with me Marshall Masters. Marshall, I'm going in 9 million directions with you. This life force with the bats, the experience that you gleaned from that gave you that inner peace. I read your bio and the earthquake in San Francisco, again, a chemical factory during an earthquake, you know, kind of shed some light on where you needed to go in the future. And from what I have seen from your web pages and your documents and your books, by the way, the books are available, ladies and gentlemen. Come to the Terror Chat page on Blog Talk Radio, and you will see three books of Marshall Masters available there. Just click on them. It'll take you over to Amazon, and you'll be able to peruse them at your leisure. But the books and all of the information, Marshall, you're not doing this for yourself. I can tell that by the information you provide. This isn't for you.
I do it for love, to be honest with you. My wife and I tried, back in the 90s, we really tried to have a kid, and no joy. And we got to the point where, I wasn't going to go with all of that anymore. I just said, well, I'd much rather just have my wife. And that was a shifting point, because then you do begin, for me, I began to see all of the children in the world as the innocents. And I felt a responsibility for them. It's not important that they know who I am. But you do, it changed my paradigm. It changed my worldview. And that, for me, became the essence of what I'm doing. I am, my greatest enemy are what I call the lost tears. And the lost tears are that, yes, this is going to be a catastrophic event, and everyone's going to be upset and dealing with it, and people are going to cry, and they're going to have a difficult time. And children are going to cry, and they're going to have a difficult time. That's a given. The lost tears are when the adults that are the bedrock, the foundation, and the guiding posts of these children's lives start acting insane and stupidly and don't have anything, any idea other than to lay down and die, or worse. And when the children see that, they know that they will be truly lost, and then they will cry the lost tears. And so all that I do is to prevent one lost tear. If I can prevent one lost tear, then I'm happy. And if I can do that, well, then one is never enough.
Well, God bless you on that, Marshall. As you said, there needs to be a different way of thinking in society. The industrial society has failed. Our financial systems are failing because of greed, purely greed, no other reason. And I think there is an enlightenment coming. Now, whether it is a religious enlightenment, as the Christian Bible professes, or if it's an enlightenment through the Egyptian text in the Koblin Bible, whatever the information is out there, we have to bring forward. And will be those people that will take it to heart, and there will be those people that blow it off. And I think that has a lot to do with that religious experience, where those that do not believe will be cast into the darkness, and those that believe will be exalted to their heaven, if you will. And I think you read the way they spoke in the day that they wrote the manuscript. You have to extrapolate from that. And I think by doing you've done a magnificent job in being able to extrapolate. The Koblin Bible, I am still working on it. My God, is that a fascinating read. That is probably one of the most impressive things I've done in such a long time.
Yes, and I have to tell you, if anybody tells me, yeah, I read it over the weekend, I know they didn't read it. I get about two pages, and then I have to stop, and I spend a month thinking about it.
Likewise, I'm a very, I like to put it together, and that's why these shows are so important, is because I want to put it together and present it out there to the people, so that they can have a think about it too, so that they can take the journey that I'm taking with information and intelligence. It just appears to me that there's way too much information out there for there not to be other life in the universe. There is way too much information out there to not believe that we should have a second sun somewhere. I mean, we should be, what are the odds that we live in a binary star system? What are the odds?
You know, it is. And the thing that has kept me involved in this work, because, frankly, there were times a few years ago when I was going, why am I not doing something more practically material, like being in the toilet paper business? Think about it. One ply versus two ply. That's not difficult. Keep it on the soft side. You got repeat business. Here I am talking about the end of life as we know it. And why do I keep doing this? The reason why is all the letters I get from people all around the world. And that for me, Colin, I just feel this obligation to these people to keep, first off, to give them just some place where they can write and talk about these things that they've been thinking about. And I'm talking about folks that have had dreams and visions that are decades ago, just not a few months ago. In some, one case, a man told me he'd been studying this since when he was a small boy in the 1930s. And so it's multi-generational, and people see two suns in the sky. They see the tsunamis. They see all of the things. And it's, we have no one authoritative voice that we look at. We just simply look at statistical patterns, and the patterns give us very steady drumbeats that people keep seeing two suns in the sky.
I can fully understand where you're heading with it. And again, we go back to disinformation, and there's a lot of it out there. Recently, I've been given the opportunity of interviewing a few people. I have one coming up on Friday night, UFO Matt, I call him. He's had some experiences. Now, whether they are real or imaginary, the listener has to be the judge of that. I can only present it to them, and if they blow it off and say, this guy is, smoking the wrong stuff or whatever, that's entirely up to them. But, personally, I think there's something to it.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me flip the question back at you. Okay. Over 70% of the people believe in UFOs. Why is it the conversation is dominated by people who are making caustic debunking ad hominem attacks? Why is it that the vast majority of people who believe in this cannot discuss it openly?
Is that part of kind? Is that part of our genetic code to prevent that somehow?
No, absolutely not. Our genetic code is to talk about it, but what we're dealing with are folks that have force, not necessarily power. Gandhi had power. They have force. They don't want to talk about it. And the whole issue of disinformation with regards to Planet X, people are thinking it's about governments not wanting to be overwhelmed and embarrassed and all of that. Well, if you want, you could say that's the stage one of the disinformation war. We're in stage two. Stage one has been won by the elites that have been funding this disinformation battle to keep this information suppressed so that it doesn't get out there. Because it's real simple. We have 6.5 billion people on the planet. We're consuming the biosphere faster than it can regenerate, so a depopulation is required to their thinking. And a great way to do it without being responsible is to say, look, it's that second sun in the sky that's killing you. We're your friends. Well, were they the friends by keeping the information? No. Well, that battle's already been fought and won. They got that, all right? Where it is right now, and the reason why we were so bitterly attacked for documenting their disinformation methods was not that it makes a difference in how many lives are saved. I mean, all that we can do, all that we can talk to statistically relevant to 6.5 billion people on the earth is a speck of dust on the toughest of a flea, on the tuchus of a dog, on the tuchus of an elephant being eaten by a dinosaur, okay? So that's not the issue. What's the issue? The issue is accountability. What this is, because we have been denied the right to choose. You choose wisely, good for you. You choose unwisely, at least you have the right to choose. If you're not given that right to choose or denied that, that is wrong. That is a crime against humanity. And the crime against humanity with all this disinformation is to avoid accountability, because the last thing these people want is to face their own Nuremberg trials. They don't want to be standing up like the Nazis did after World War II, going, I was only following orders, and that worked to get them right to the hangman's noose. They don't want to go there.
We are down to the last minute, sir. With a last minute remaining, what would you like to say to the people before we let you go?
Always remember Marshall's motto, okay? Destiny comes to those who listen, and fate finds the rest. So learn what you can learn, do what you can do, and never give up hope.
Well,
that's
God bless you, sir. Thank you very much for your time. Marshall, it's been an absolute pleasure. I got to tell you, I have enjoyed this, and I realize that you are finishing your project, and you're going to be excommunicado for a while, but I want you back, Marshall. We've got a million other things we have to talk about, sir.
It's my pleasure, Colin.
Thank you very much, Marshall. Ladies and gentlemen, Marshall Masters from the Planet SA, YOWUSA. Make sure you check them out. It's an absolutely fabulous system that Marshall has going, and some great, great information. And information is where it's at, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of that, we have to get out of here. It's been an absolute pleasure. Don't do anything I wouldn't do.
This has been a TFP Terror Chat production in association with Colin Knight and Night Zone.
are listening to TuraChat
on blogtalkradio.com. Intended for like-minded persons intent on finding the truth.
All information or opinions are that of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of blogtalkradio.com or TerraChat.
TerraChat takes every precaution to provide quality information and guests.
TerraChat does not assume any responsibility for legitimacy of guests and can't yet emptor.
There are steps that are being taken that are clearly showing that we are under the imminent threat of war, that Iran is about to be attacked. And I was just composing a Hoag Prophecy bulletin to prepare for this eventuality.
Some words can give you a feeling that make your heart warm. Republic is one of those words.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
You are listening to TuraChat.
The whole problem with Planet X is it happens not only before that, but it also happens before the Great Tribulation.
All information provided in the TerraChat radio program is the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the owner or its agents. Although TerraChat takes all precautions to provide quality information, TerraChat assumes no responsibility or liability for the legitimacy of information provided by guests' opinions or statements. You're in the night zone with the Calling Knights.